This is Kate Moorhead Carroll in the podcast, Find It. Today, I want to talk to you about self-care. I read to you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Sometime later, there was a religious gathering of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, there is a pool with five porches called Bethesda near the Sheep Gate. Inside these porches lay many sick people. Some were blind, some could not walk, some could not move their bodies. An angel of the Lord came at certain times and made the water move. All of them were waiting for it to move. Whoever got in the water first after it was moving was healed of whatever sickness he had. A man was there who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there and knew the man had been sick a long time. Jesus said to him, "Would you like to be healed?" The sick man said, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is moving. While I am coming, another one gets in first." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your bed and walk." At once the man was healed and picked up his bed and walked. This happened on the day of rest. All of us Christians are called to act like Jesus. He came to show us what it means to be human. He is our role model, our Lord, our mentor, and our love. We are to walk in his ways and do what he did. But it's truly an impossible task to be a follower of Jesus. We will always fall short of his example. But God loves us anyway. The love of God that comes to us despite our inadequacies, this is called grace. All of us are called to try to model our lives on Jesus's. And much of what you hear in church is about getting you to, as the deacon says at the end of our worship, love and serve the Lord. But today, I want to talk about what happens after we begin to do the work that God has called us to do. Once we're doing something that is good and building the kingdom of God, how do we sustain ourselves? Once you've acknowledged that it's your listening ear, or your donated dollar, or your ability to clean a house, or your love of reading aloud that brings others into wellness, then you will begin to use these gifts. And once you are doing full-fledged ministry, the next step will be the hardest of all. This step is rarely discussed in church, but it's essential for your very survival. As a disciple, you must learn to put boundaries around your gift. Even Jesus could not save the whole world while he was human. He could only do so on the cross and in the resurrection itself. While he walked on this earth, Jesus was too bound by time and by his earthly body. He modeled for us what it is to do ministry, to heal, to help, to teach. And he also modeled for us how to rest and how to only do that which is asked of us. I want to focus on this one miracle today because we Americans have become ill. Our disease is busyness, and it is a natural response to a new technological world in which we are exposed to the pain of an entire planet. We are taught that instant is good, instant gratification, instant responses, instant food. We are exposed to the problems of the entire world as if we're omnipotent and we could fix them. But this is a lie. It is the darkness who works in the crisis and who tells you you must do everything yourself. It is that same darkness that tells you that you're not enough, not pretty enough, not skinny enough, not fast enough, or smart enough, or good enough. And it's all a lie. Look to Jesus. He did not rush. He approached a pool in Jerusalem that had five porches, five entrances full of wounded, sick, paralyzed, and diseased human beings. This was a hospital of sorts, but there were no doctors and nurses, only the water, which would be rustled by an occasional breeze, which was thought to be an angel that had healing powers. So the desperate, wounded people lay there, sometimes wrestling and pushing each other aside to get closer to the water. Jesus looks upon this scene and focuses on only one man, one man. He does not try to help all of them. He does not try to save them all from their illnesses. He does only that which God has asked of him, no more and no less. I want to stress this for a moment, because discernment takes great prayer. One of the hardest parts of discernment is determining what not to do. Let me say that again, because it's especially true for women. The hardest part of discernment is often determining what not to do. What is God handing you? What task is yours, and what are you to leave in the hands of God? Jesus focused on only one man, which means that he did not respond to the cries of many, many people. Before Jesus acts, he also asks the man if he wants to be well. Jesus says, "Would you like to be healed?" The man doesn't even know how to answer this question. All he can comprehend is that he wants to get into the water. After being paralyzed for 38 years, that is all he can imagine. But that answer is enough for Jesus. Jesus heals him and commands him to get up, take up his mat, and walk. Before we can do good, we must have the consent of the one who needs the help. Some people are so consumed with their addiction or their grievances or their hatred or their ailments that they will not consent to be well. They may even tell you that they want health, but their true actions and complaints will tell you otherwise. If this man had not desired to be well, even though he couldn't imagine what health looked like, Jesus would not have healed him. There are some that you will have to allow to suffer because they are not ready to be well. And if you love them, that's the greatest pain of all, to let them struggle. This man is healed, and once his healing occurs, his life gets much more complicated. The Pharisees interrogate him and blame Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. The man cannot stop talking about Jesus and gets Jesus in trouble. In a way, his sinful life begins once he's healed. His journey is by no means over, for healing is not the solution that answers all problems. It is a miracle that gives us the opportunity to thank God and to move forward in the struggle of life. It doesn't end suffering. It merely helps us move forward. The myth that you can solve any of the world's great problems is hubris. It's pride, and it comes from our ego and not from God. You are, as Mother Teresa once said, a pencil in the hand of God. We must give up on the idea that we're great enough to solve anything, but instead turn our will over to the one who makes all things well. And as you visit with someone who needs your help, to ask God, "Is this mine to hold, to help? When am I to pick it up and do ministry, and when am I to put it down? What would you have me do, O Lord? Show me your will, O God, and I will do that which you ask." The key to wellness for any minister of God is knowing when to do the work of Christ and when to place the troubles of the world in God's hands and rest. Thank you for joining me on this podcast today. May God bless you and keep you as you move forward in your life.